If you have a Bible, go ahead and be turning to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, look at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Verse 4. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make you flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Can you imagine such a scene? God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, to the death, and that he will bring it to life. God tells Ezekiel that he, the sovereign Lord, can bring death to life, that he can bring order out of chaos, and that he can bring beauty from disaster. In all reality, this is what God always does. This is actually what God has been doing since creation. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, we read of God bringing order from chaos. And at the pinnacle of creation stands a man and a woman that God formed from the dust of the earth, and he breathed his divine life into them. He breathed his spirit. He breathed the life-giving force of the universe into Adam and Eve. We see this idea again here in Ezekiel 37. God shows Ezekiel that he can restore his people in this text to their land from exile by breathing his spirit on them. God again brings dead things to life. He brings beauty from disaster and order from chaos. What seemed like an endless tomorrow for Israel, stuck in a land of nothing, has a new trajectory when God's breath, when God's spirit enters the scene. And ultimately for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, this text in Ezekiel points forward to the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is brought back to life as the first from among the dead. And we are then given this opportunity of this great hope of a resurrection, of being brought back from death to life. But in the meantime, Jesus breathes his spirit on us now, here, to participate in bringing order from chaos and beauty from disaster, and to somehow aid in bringing dead things to life. By the way, this is the beauty of John's gospel. If you haven't read John's gospel in a while, go read it. It'll only take you a few hours, you know, shorter than the most recent Avengers movie. John paints this beautiful picture at the end of the gospel where Jesus actually breathes on his disciples. Get this. It's God who breathes on Adam to bring them to life so that they can partner with him in the world. And it's Jesus who breathes on his disciples so that his spirit can enter them so that they can partner with him in the world. Isn't that awesome? What a cool picture. What a cool invitation to participate in God's story. So what if God is still in the business of bringing dead things to life? What if God is still bringing order out of chaos? What if God is still bringing beauty from disaster? I think he is. I think he is still in this business, as are his people. Imagine this. Instead of a valley of dry bones, imagine the scene of Ezekiel 37 as a representation or a picture of our campus. Imagine that we, with our bird's eye drone shot view, maybe you're even on top of the Curris Center, looking down over our campus. And instead of dry bones, just imagine that we are viewing students walking to and from class, to and from breakfast or lunch or dinner, to and from their third or fourth nap for the day. Imagine what it would look like for God to actually breathe his spirit into the lives of students on Murray State's campus. Imagine what it would look like for every student who comes to Murray State to experience the Spirit of God bringing them to life. Imagine what it would look like for every student at Murray State with all the junk and all the baggage and all their brokenness and all the disaster in their life to be breathed on by the Spirit of God and somehow find beauty in their brokenness. So here's my question for us this morning. How can we be a part of such a move of God? How can we, like you, I'm actually talking to you, not the other people not sitting in this room, like you, me. How can we, the University Church, be a part of such an incredible move of God? How can we partner with God to see dead students come to life? How can we work with God to bring order in their lives instead of chaos? What can we do to restore beauty to the lives of the students that we encounter? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, and then we'll see what God does. We are going to pray, and we are going to fast for every student that we can get the name of for 30 days. And we're going to do it in the month of July, which is just around the corner. So together, our challenge this morning, what we want to challenge our entire church family with, is to join us for what we're calling Breathe, that God would breathe his life onto our campus. And we're going to pray, and we're going to fast for 30 days. Don't freak out. I'll get to the how in a little bit. Earlier this year, over 400 churches in the city of Nashville came together for what they called Awaken Nashville. And together, they prayed for every person in their city. All of them. By name. And so we are actually taking our lead from them. Most of our resources that we will share with you in a little while are their resources. We've just taken them and rewritten some of the language so that it makes sense for us. And we're taking our lead from what they did a few months ago. We thought it was an incredible idea. And so we want to follow in their wake. And so we're going to tell you how that looks in a few minutes. But I want to start with why. I think it's important we know why we do things before we know what or how we do them. The first reason that we're doing this, the reason why, is that we often say that our mission is to be and make disciples of Jesus in our families, on our campus, and around our community. And for the next few years, our elders want us to make a concerted effort to focus on our campus. Heather coming on board this year was a huge part of that. It was a great step in helping us create space for discipling students. And I would argue that we are already seeing some of the fruit of that. And so thank you. That's just an incredible opportunity. And for us, for Heather and for me, we are going to continue to labor the best we can to be and make disciples on our campus. But here's the catch. I would love to see God do more, if I'm honest. I would love to see God to do more than we ask or imagine. We would love to see things happen that we never dreamed of, ever. We would love to see God actually raise dead things to life and bring order out of chaos and bring beauty from disaster in the ways we have already seen him do that. We would just like to continue to see him do that. And so we believe that embarking on such a journey together as a family, praying and fasting, will help us to join the flow of what God is already doing on campus. To stay close to our mission as a church, if you're going to have one, you need to stay close to it. To stay close to our mission of being and making disciples on campus, I think we need to pursue God's heart in a very, very intentional way. And I think God will do more than we could ever ask or imagine. The second reason why we're doing this is really just the centrality of prayer for a follower of Jesus. If you follow Jesus, prayer, it's just central to who we are. It's not an addendum. It's not something extra. It is central to who we are. And prayer does multiple things. Prayer opens us to God's presence. That for many of us, we might just need to sit in God's presence this summer for 30 days and see what he has to say to us about his love and about his mercy and about his compassion and about his grace. And maybe that's enough for us each day this summer, for 30 days to sit in God's presence as we pray and open ourselves up to what he's doing right here. But prayer not only opens us to God's presence, prayer also aligns us with God's purpose. So if we're going to pray for God's will to be done here, we have to pray for that to happen, even when life on life's terms seem just ridiculous and obscene. If we want to see heaven invade earth, if we want to see the things of heaven be the things of earth, we have to put ourselves in the midst of that process. And prayer is often the first step on that journey to aligning ourselves with God's purpose in the world. And finally, the reason why we're doing this also in relation to prayer is that prayer unleashes God's power. And this might be the most important for us this summer. If we want to see the miraculous, yes, I said miraculous. If we want to see dead people find life in Christ, if we want to see students restored to sanity, if we want to see God bring order out of chaos, we must pray. There's not another option. Prayer unleashes God's power. I mean, think about this. Do we really think that God is in a distant cosmos, unconcerned and uninvolved with our everyday lives? Really? Do we think that? No. I mean, do we really think that God is the type of character who just gathers all the stones and waits to snap his fingers with blessings or curses? No, we don't think that. Or do we believe that God is actually in our midst, moving in the world? every day. So, if we believe that, and if we have experienced it, we have to expectantly pray for God's power to be unleashed. And then, and this is so important, we have to open our ears and our eyes to experience God's movements in our midst. You see, our prayer for our students and the prayer for the students we're going to pray for is very simple. It goes like this: God, breathe on these students and raise them to life in your name. That's it. Breathe your spirit on these students, raise them to life in Jesus. Now, let me be real honest with you for a minute. Is that okay? About to have church up in here. Come on. Today is not going how it was supposed to. We actually wanted to pray for every new student coming to Murray State. Freshmen, transfers, that's about 2,000 students. It's usually not hard for us to do that sort of thing, but it looks like we're not going to be able to. So let me tell you something. I don't know what's going on our campus. I have no idea. But if you gave me 2 or 3 hours, I could give you example after example of things just going weird. We're in a time on our campus where I think we need to fervently pray for God's power to be unleashed in a mighty way. Because there are forces of something, whatever you want to call it, evil, some sort of forces happening on our campus that I think the Jesus people here are being pushed and prodded and poked around. And it took Charlie and Mark convincing me yesterday that this is still worth it, and that maybe even it's more worth it than we thought. Because something's going on around here, and I don't like it. And so we're going to pray. We're going to pray that we're open to God's presence. We're going to pray for him to align us with his purpose. And we're going to pray that he unleashes his power. Amen? All right. Now, the hard one. Why in the world would we fast? All right. I agree. A few reasons for fasting. The easy reason is that Jesus fasted. Followers of Jesus have to follow Jesus. So if you want to follow Jesus, follow Jesus. So fast. Right? That's the easy reason. In fact, what's really interesting, God's people have fasted for a really long time. Scripture and church history have painted a pretty clear picture that to be a part of the family of God means to be a part of a family that fasts. The way that many of our families have practices and just traditions that bring us life and help us become who we want to become, fasting is a part of being in the family of God. Think about this for a second. This is one of the things that's caught me in a really cool way. In the Great Commission, which is at the end of Matthew chapter 28, we have this kind of beautiful text of, as you go, make disciples, right? Baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. So we teach others what Jesus taught us. All right. What's the largest section of teaching in Matthew's gospel? Anybody? Exactly. Right. The Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7. We call that the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew paints the picture of Jesus as the new Moses. He walks up on a new hill and delivers a new teaching. Super fantastic. Hey, what are the three practices that Jesus assumes his followers will do? Fasting, praying, and giving to the poor. This church has done an incredible job this year of giving and then giving to those in need. And we've already been on one prayer journey, haven't we? And it was cool. So this is our second prayer journey. It's time for us to fast together. It's time. We've been praying. We've been giving. Jesus assumed that we would fast. But here's the thing. Let me give you some more reasons if you need some more mental framework. Fasting is not just abstaining from food. The idea is not just that we would pull something away. Fasting is also not just restricting your diet in a kind of clean way. Fasting is also not just the latest health craze, even though 5 minutes on Google will show you that it is. We fast from food to feed on the Spirit. So it's not the idea of just removal. We are also replacing. It's not uncommon to remove something. With fasting, however, we are also replacing what we have intentionally removed. There is an intentional spiritual purpose by taking away the food. We fast to spend intentional time in prayer. And in that time of prayer, we pray that God will open us to his presence, align us with his purpose, and unleash his power. And our hope this summer is that by starving our flesh, that we will find space, maybe for the first time in a long time, to feed on God's Spirit. And we want to do that together this summer. There's a spiritual giant. His name is Dallas Willard. He wrote this super fancy quote. I'm going to read it. This discipline, fasting, teaches us a lot about ourselves very quickly. Anybody already felt that this morning? I said the word fasting and you went, brr, right? It will certainly prove humiliating to us as it reveals to us how much our peace depends upon the pleasure of eating. It may also bring to mind how we are using food pleasure to decrease the discomforts caused in our bodies by faithless and unwise living attitudes. Ow! Right? And he lists some of those attitudes. Lack of self-worth, meaningless work, purposeless existence, or lack of exercise. If nothing else, fasting, it will certainly demonstrate how powerful and clever our body is in getting its own way against our strongest resolves. Woo! Right? Fasting is hard. And what can feel like such a burden to think about, I think will become a blessing. And what we may want to make a requirement in some way, I think will actually prove its way toward a beautiful, gracious, humbling reward. Another reason for fasting is also beneficial to help us learn how to align our physical and spiritual realities. We are not simply kind of spiritual orbs floating around, but we are also not just physical. We have been made in the image of God, and he has breathed divine life into us, and yet we're still made of the earth. So we are made of dust, and we are divine in some way. We are physical and spiritual. So fasting helps us on our journey to become what I might call holistic followers of Jesus. Fasting will help us become who God created us to be by shaping us into the image of Jesus. So that's the thing behind the thing. I think it's important to start with why, even though that's the heavy stuff, right? Ooh, slow down, bro. It's okay. All right, let's talk a little bit about the how. This might be more fun. Throughout the month of July, we are asking you in prayer to go to God for our campus. You will receive a booklet today or when you sign up with a prayer guide in it for each day of the month of July. This prayer guide has a scripture reading for each day, and it has four different prayer postures for each day of the week. This is derived from what Awaken Nashville did, so we took theirs, shortened it, so you have kind of a condensed version. So each day, you will read scripture and you will pray for the students, hopefully that are on your list. If you just want to take a booklet today, but you don't really know if you're interested or not, that's okay. All the booklets will be in the Welcome Center, and I'll tell you more about what's in them in just a second. Side note, thank you, Tori, for assembling all of the beautiful books we have this morning. What a blessing. Second thing, here's the how of the fasting piece, which I'm sure you're very interested in. Here's how it might look. I am painfully optimistic. It's a genetic defect. It's their fault, right? We are in no way suggesting that you not eat for 30 days. So just let that one go. If that's your thing, have at it. We are, however, asking you to consider not eating for smaller amounts of time. Perhaps you take one day a week and not eat for 24 hours, so a one-day fast. You could eat dinner on Tuesday night and then not eat again until Wednesday night. During those meals that you are not eating, so say breakfast and lunch, you could sit down and pray through your prayer guide for your list of students. If one day is too long, and you just can't process that reality, maybe you could pick one meal a week. So maybe you might take Wednesday morning breakfast and just say, hey, I usually eat breakfast for 5 minutes to an hour. And you take that breakfast time and you sit down and you intentionally pray. So by removing, we are also replacing. We are intentionally removing something to engage the Spirit of God in a really healthy way. For others of you, fasting entirely from food is not an option. Perhaps you have a medical condition, or you're growing a baby in your belly, or other reasons. Maybe for you it means fasting from a certain food for a day or the month. Maybe for the month you take the month off of dairy. Cheese will be there when you come back to it. Or maybe wheat or meat, or perhaps you fast from certain foods during the week and then enjoy them on the weekend. Take the week off of sugar, or those high fructose corn syrup drinks you like so much. Maybe that's what fasting might look like for you. Again, it's the intentional removal to replace time with the Spirit of God. For others of you, however, you do not need to fast from food at all. And here's why. Because food is a part of the brokenness of your story. You have learned a pattern of eating too much or eating too little. And if you struggle with food in that very, very intimate way, you're not alone. You're a child of God. You are dearly loved. And you are still enough. We actually have a class for that. It's out the back, down the stairs, take a right, take another right. It's the first door on the right, and there you'll get right with Jesus. But seriously, if that is too intimate for you, and there is a hurt or a habit or a hang-up with food, this is really not your journey. This journey from fasting is going to look different for you. You might consider something else, like social media. Instagram will still love you, and other people will still like you if you take 30 days and don't post anything. Give it a try. See how happy you are in 10 minutes. Or maybe from your phone in general, or just from television. You know, if you watch a family show every Tuesday night for 30 minutes, maybe as a family you take that 30 minutes off and say, hey, let's just talk about Jesus for a minute. It'll be weird. That's okay. You have permission to be creative. But regardless of the fast that you choose, and you have to choose it, our goal is removing something for a spiritual purpose. We fast from food to feed on the Spirit. This is not just willy-nilly, let's do something just for fun. Our desire is to fast in order to spend intentional time praying for our campus. Very intentional time seeking the face of God, seeking His heart, and pleading with Him to unleash His power on our campus. The last how of how this will work, that was repetitive, I'm sorry, are the cards. If you choose to partner with us, you will receive a list of students and a stack of postcards in the month of June. Again, we might not be able to get the list of names that we thought we could. Therefore, you might actually just get the list of names of our students, which would be awesome. or you might not get any list at all. We'll see how that kind of plays out. But if you do get a list, you will only get first names, and you will only be asked to write your first name. Much of that has to do with confidentiality. And also, do not worry. We will tell you exactly what to write. You're welcome. Right? You actually have to write it that way for a few reasons. And so you'll have two options in the booklet that we'll give you later to kind of go, oh, I like that language better. You insert your name in the blank. Old school, right? And then we'll move on from there. Again, we'll let you know more in the next few weeks of what that looks like when we find out what names we can and can't get. All right. So now what? Staying with our threes, if anyone's been paying attention for the last 25 minutes, you have three options this morning. The first option, you can go to the Welcome Center. Heather and Hope will be there to greet you. And you can take a booklet with you. The booklet has instructions at the beginning that are 3 or 4 pages long. It has a letter from Heather and me inviting you on this journey with us. It has a prayer guide for the entire month of July. And then there's a reading at the end by a guy named Dave Clayton. Dave is one of the ministers at the Ethos Church in Nashville. Dave was actually my campus minister at Lipscomb University. If you're interested on fasting and you feel your blood boiling a little bit this morning, or just think this is ridiculous, you might go grab one of those booklets and read those 6 or 8 pages in the back today. He has a lot of healthy things to say about fasting that's more than I can cover this morning. Your second option is, I'm in. Let's do this. Don't care what it looks like. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Tell me what to do. You can walk to the Welcome Center. We have 3 clipboards with big blanks on them. You can just write your name, your email, and your phone number, and we will contact you and go ahead and start sending you, hey, here's what this might look like. What do you need help with? How can we help you think through fasting? That sort of thing. Or number 3, you can pray about your participation with us. If you are... if you're burned out on people telling you to pray, that's okay. I understand. Or if you think fasting is just ridiculous, okay. How dare you ask me to not eat? Okay, that's fine. Or maybe you just don't see the need for us to plead for God to move on our campus. I understand. So just pray one time and ask God if he wants you to join us for this journey. Maybe you'll be surprised. Let me finish this way. Every year that we have gone to Colorado, we've hiked a few mountains. There is a phenomenon that occurs while we're there. When you get to high camp, somewhere between 10,000 and 11,000 feet, you set up camp, you put up your tent, you eat dinner, you sit around a fire, you may be freezing cold, which I normally am, and you just sit around and talk about Jesus. Then at some point you go to bed and you're wrestling with your own mental chatter around being on a mountain and that you're not alone on the mountain. There are things other than humans here, so you had to deal with all that. And then this crazy, awesome phenomenon happens. You begin to hear the wind blowing through the valleys. It's an incredible sound. But most often, you don't see it, or feel it, or experience it. It doesn't make it up the hill. It seems like it's coming from miles away, and I kind of get excited usually when I get used to what that sound is. It comes closer and closer, and then you don't feel anything. You don't see the trees move. The tent doesn't do its cool floppy thing. That's the technical term, cool floppy thing. And it just goes on by. It's one of my favorite sounds. We need to be okay praying for the wind of God, for the breath of God, and for his spirit to do something amazing, even if we don't see it, or hear it, or feel it, or experience it. We may never see the fruit of our faithfulness, ever. But we're going to be faithful to what we think God's called us to. And we're going to labor, and we're going to work, and we're going to toil, and we're going to pray. And this summer, we're going to fast also. And plead with God to unleash His power and His breath and His wind on our campus to bring life from death and order from chaos and beauty from disaster. And even if the only thing we ever hear is a decade from now that something really cool started around the year 2019, we can't really remember. That's okay. That's okay. So we're going to pray. We're going to fast. And we're going to do what we can. And so I hope this morning that you'll consider joining us as we continue to do our best to live our mission to be and make disciples of Jesus on our campus together. Let me pray for us and I'll be done. Holy Father, we love you. We thank you for the invitation to join the flow of what you're doing on our campus. And we do it faithfully as we look back and see how faithful you've been to us. May we love well as we look back and see how much you have loved us. And may we be in tune with your Spirit as you breathe life to students around us, as you breathe life in us, and as you breathe life through us. We're thankful for the journey you've invited us to, and so may we do it well. We love you, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And the whole church said, amen.